Okay, here we go. Well, we're starting a new topic tonight in the Word of God, and that is the blessings of God. So we're going to be looking at the blessings of God in the New Testament, the Old Testament. We're going to get an understanding of the words that are translated blessing, and we're going to just learn as much as we can along the way. I don't know how many weeks this is going to take, but we'll just get all we can out of it. So regarding the blessings of God, I wanted to start in some familiar territory. There's a few verses that we all know pretty well regarding the blessings of God. So we're going to look at these first and then try to get a feel for the words that are translated blessing and what they mean, and then we'll take it from there. So the first place I'd like to look at is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then it lists a lot of them. And we're going to be going back to this section in another session. But this is a very important place in the scriptures regarding the blessings of God to us who are the ones who believe in Jesus Christ, because this epistle is written to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and that includes us. So it directly relates to us. The word bless is used in three different forms in this one verse, and that's a figure of speech. I believe it's polypteton, where you have the same word used in multiple ways. So the first word, blessed, is the Greek word eulogetos, okay? And it is always translated blessed. And it is an adjective that describes one who is blessed, but it's a blessing that is in words, one who is praised, spoken well of. Okay, the word eulogetos, it's a compound word, the EU in Greek, that prefix means good or well, all right? And logetos is from logeo, which it means to speak. So it's one who is well spoken of, okay? So that's the first one, and it's describing God. Blessed, well spoken of, or praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's all about him. And then here's what he has done. He who is blessed hath blessed us. And that word blessed is eulogeo. And it's translated blessed, blessed, blessing, or praised. Only once it's translated praised, but usually it's blessed or to bless. And it's eulogeo, so it's the verb. So eulogetos that we saw, that is an adjective, but eulogeo is a verb. It's something that God has done. He has blessed us. God is the subject of the phrase, and we are the direct object. He hath blessed us. And he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So the word blessings, blessing is eulogia, and it's a noun, okay? It's from eulogeo, you know, to speak well. But a eulogia, that would be the words of the blessings. Okay, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, when the good words come from God, they turn into something good. Okay, they're never just words. You know, I've heard the expression that words are cheap, not God's words. When God blesses someone, they are blessed. It brings good things into their lives. So everything God has done started with his words, right? Let there be light, there was light. If God blesses you, well, you're blessed. And they're spiritual blessings. So Again, when we come back to this section, we'll look at what the spiritual blessings are. For now, I just wanted to get a little familiarity with the vocabulary that's used. So we saw eulogetos, okay, eulogeo, and eulogia, all forms of the same root word, okay? And that's a great figure of speech. There's another well-known place in the New Testament that uses the word blessed, and that's in Matthew chapter 5. It's what people call the Sermon on the Mount, but the Bible doesn't call it a sermon. It calls it a teaching. It says he opened his mouth and taught them, right? Didn't say he delivered a sermon. He taught his disciples. His disciples were his students that were sitting at his feet. He taught them saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So the word blessed is used how many times here? 9 times, okay, in that one section here. And the word blessed is not from eulogeo, it's from an entirely different root, makarios, okay? Makarios, and it's translated blessed 43 times, 5 times it's translated happy. And once it's translated, happier. And makarios it's an adjective that describes someone who is blessed. And it means fortunate, well off, okay? It means blessed or happy. And it's a great word. Remember the first time I went to a Bible fellowship? Well, maybe not the first time, but I had just started going. And someone asked me, hey, Greg, are you blessed? And I thought that was a strange question, because the way I was brought up to be blessed was to have a priest speak words in a ceremonial setting, and it usually involved holy water. And I said, well, I don't see any priest around. Nobody's got any holy water. What do you mean, am I blessed? She said, are you happy? I said, oh, okay. Blessed means happy. Yeah, I'm blessed. So, and that would be this word here, makarios. So what Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples, saying, happy are the poor in spirit. Now, it seems like a contradiction, because usually the poor, the humble, the depressed ones are sad. They say, no, blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. And it means the ones who are humble, receptive to the word of God, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Even if they don't seem to be in the happiest of circumstances at the moment, well, the kingdom of God's going to last forever, right? There's something to be happy about. Blessed are they which mourn. Happy are they which mourn. That seems odd. Why? For they shall be comforted. There are times where it's appropriate to mourn, right? When someone dies, for example. Happy are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning is temporary, but the comfort, that lasts, okay? Blessed, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Most people think it's the strong that are going to inherit the earth. The mighty conquerors, we say, no, it's the meek ones. They shall inherit the earth. Why? Because they receive it from God. You see, and it goes on and on. So we'll come back to this section another time, but just wanted to show you that this word blessed is makarios. Makarios, and it means well off. All right. So those are the two main words that you'll see in the New Testament that are translated blessed, because the New Testament was translated from the Greek. So these are Greek words, eulogeo, and the other forms, eulogetos, eulogia, mean to bless or to be blessed by words. And makarios is to be blessed, happy. Things are good for you. Now, in the Old Testament, let's go to Genesis 12. This is not the first place that it uses the word blessed, but it's a well-known section, Genesis 12, 2, because it's regarding the blessing of Abraham, which actually does have a unique bearing on our lives, as we'll see when we dig into this further. But I want to look at the words used. So this is when God had called Abram, was his name at the time. This is before he got the name Abraham. But God called him and told him to get out of his country and from his family, from his father's house, and go to a land that I will show thee. He didn't even show it to him yet. He just said, go, I'll show you the land when you get there. But he made promises to him. He said, and I will make of thee, Abram, a great nation. And a nation is goy, means an extended family, like a big tribe. And I will bless thee. I personally, God, will bless you and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Right? And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, if it's all families, that includes yours and mine, right? All of them. So let's look at these words. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. It's the Hebrew word barak, and it means to bless with words. It also means to kneel. It's used a couple of times of like camels kneeling down, or Solomon kneeling down to praise God and to pray to him. So that's like one of the literal meanings, but it has the meaning to bless by speaking to someone good words, okay? Like God said here, I will bless thee, but it doesn't end with the words. It ends with doing something for that person, because he said, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, this word blessing is related to the Hebrew word barak, but it's a baraka. So barak that we looked at, that is a verb, to bless, okay? It's an action from the person doing the blessing to someone that he's blessing, all right? Now, I will bless thee, that's barak, and thou shalt be a blessing, that's baraka, and it can be a blessing, the words used to bless somebody, or it can be a source of blessing. It can be the result of the blessing, which would be prosperity, but could be someone blessing God or praising God, or it could be a gift or a present that's given to someone, or a treaty of peace. So it has all those meanings could be included. Most of the time it's translated blessing, blessings, blessed, just three times present, like a gift, one liberal, and once it's translated pools. But the main thing is a benediction, which is, again, being blessed by words, and then the prosperity that the words produce, or the person who's blessing, the blessee, got the blesser and the blessee. So the blesser is blessing the blessee, and he does something for that person, okay? He doesn't just pronounce words and then ignore him after that. He follows up with what he said he's going to do. And what God told Abram he was going to do is he's going to make him a great nation. That means he's going to have lots of children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and it's going to be a whole big multitude of people. I'm going to bless thee and make thy name great. That means he's going to be well-respected, okay? That Abram's name would carry weight when other people would hear it. And thou shalt be a blessing. So not only are you going to be blessed, but you're going to be a source of blessing for others, you see? And I will bless them that bless thee. And in both cases, that's the word barak, the verb form, I'm going to Barak those that Barak you. So if they speak well of you, I, God, will bless them because they blessed you. That's one way that Abram would be a blessing to others, you see, because God would back that up. So if they speak well of you, I'm going to speak well of them and do good things for them. And I'm going to curse him that curseth thee. So if anybody curses you, and there are two different words for curse here. If they curse thee, that means to be slight, swift, or trifling. It means if they belittle you, if they put you down in any way, I'm going to curse them. And that would be to pronounce words that would be followed up with actions that would be bad for that person, okay? And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And this will be explained in detail in the epistle to the Galatians and in the epistle to the Romans, particularly. So we'll look at that. But make note of these words. So the verb is barak, and the noun is baraka. Okay, both related. One's a verb and one's a noun. Now there's another Hebrew word that's translated blessed in the book of Psalms. It's not only in the book of Psalms, but I track this word through the Old Testament, and it's only used once or twice before you get to the book of Psalms. And then it's used a lot. And a lot of us are familiar with Psalm 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, so this word blessed is the Hebrew word esher. See that? E-S-H-E-R. And it means happiness or blessedness, often used as an interjection. And it's translated as an adjective in the English, okay? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you would expect it to be an adjective describing the person, right? But it's grammatically in the Hebrew a noun, happiness, blessedness, okay? It's translated blessed or happy, one of those two ways. It's really not ever translated in the King James Bible as a noun. It's always translated as an adjective, but it is, you know, happiness. It's from another word, ashar, which is to go straight, to walk on, advance, make progress. So it's to go forward, like to prosper, okay? To go in a straight way, to go in the right way. That's ashar or asher. So the word we're looking at is related to that. It's esher, but it's a noun. Now, I did a comparison. You can, in ESORD, which is the program I like to use to study the Bible, you can compare several different versions. And it has the Brenton, which is the English translation of the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So they translate it from Hebrew into Greek, and Brenton translated that Greek translation into English, okay? And he also translates it, blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, etc. In the LITV version, translates it blessed. The Revised Version translates it blessed. But in the Young's literal translation, the YLT, he translates it, oh, the happiness of that one who hath not walked in the counsel of the wicked. See that? Mm-hmm. So Young's, that's the same Young, Robert Young, that did the Young's Concordance. He also did a literal translation of the Bible, which many times sounds a little stilted in English, but it follows word by word grammatically the words of the Hebrew or the Greek. So I like that translation for reference. And he translates it, oh, the happiness of that one who hath not walked in the counsel of the wicked. Okay. So that would be the literal meaning. But again, every time you look at it in the King James, it's going to be translated either blessed or happy. Now, I like when there's just a couple of words in the Old Testament translated one thing and a couple in the New Testament, I'd like to see, well, which one lines up with which. So we're going to do a little exercise to determine that very quickly. In Romans 4, verse 6, there's a verse in the epistle to the Romans that's quoted from the book of Psalms. And whenever you have a verse from the Old Testament that's quoted in the New Testament, then it's easy to see which Hebrew word lines up with the Greek word, okay? Another way would be to look at the Septuagint translation, which we can do as well. But in Romans chapter 4, verse 6 says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. The word blessedness is makarismos. Makarismos would be the noun form of makarios, okay? The blessedness of the man, or the declaration of blessedness. Now, this is where it quotes in verse 7 says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So in both verses 7 and 8, the word blessed is makarios, which means to be blessed, well off, or happy. See that in verse 7, and you see that in verse 8. By the way, if any of you don't have eSword, I'd recommend getting it. I'm working off of a Mac right now, so I have the Mac version of eSword, but they have it both for Mac and for Windows, and it's free. You just go to e-sword.net, and you can download it, and it doesn't cost you anything. And along with it, you can download multiple versions of the Bible, but the main version that you get is this one that has the King James Version. For each one, it has the Strong's number. And if you're familiar with the Strong's Concordance, Mr. Strong assigned a number for every Hebrew word and every Greek word. The Hebrew words have an H at the beginning, and the Greek words have a G. So all of the ones in the New Testament are going to have the G. So this blessed Makarios, it's Strong's number G3107. And with the eSword program, you can just click on that Strong's number, and that's how you get that definition. It'll tell you in the Bible how it's translated and where it's translated in that way. And then it'll also give you other definitions from Strong. Strong gives his own definitions. And Thayer is another author of a Greek lexicon. It's like a Greek English dictionary. And his definitions are sometimes a little more specific and expansive, but this gives you the nuts and bolts of it right here, that like it's an adjective, it means blessed or happy, and many times it'll give you another word that it's related to, okay? So I recommend that you get that. If you don't already have it, it won't cost you anything. So this is the word, again, makarios, in verses 7 and 8, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed, makarios, is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, this is quoted from Psalm 32. So let's go to Psalm 32, and you can flip to it in your paper Bible, or you can just turn to it in your electronic version. But Psalm 32, verse 1, it says it's a psalm of David, which again, in Romans 4, it attributed this to David, so that's accurate. And it starts off saying, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So the word blessed here is the word Esher, okay? It's Esher. So that tells us that Makarios in the Greek is equivalent to Esher in the Hebrew, because it's the same verse, you see, that uses the Hebrew word Esher for blessed in Psalms. But in Romans, where this verse is quoted, the Greek uses the word makarios. So that puts Esher and makarios as very close in meaning. And it's here in verse 2, it's the word Esher, just like in Romans 4, verse 8, the second verse there had makarios. Also, you can look at, let's do a compare and see if the word makarios is even in here. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven. Now, Actually, I'm not seeing the word Makarios in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It uses the word euthus, which means straight, which is one of the meanings of the word esher, straight. But when it quotes it in Romans 4, where we were in verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, it uses Makarios. So that would put esher and Makarios as equivalents. So whatever we learn in the Old Testament verses about the word esher, translated blessed or happy, will relate to what we see in the New Testament when we see the word Makarios, okay? There's very much overlap there. They might not have the exact same meaning, but they're close enough that they're translated from one to the other, okay? So that's why in my notes, I said esher and Makarios are equivalent. I'm not saying exact, but they're equivalent because they're from two different languages. And in Hebrew and Greek, the meaning of esher in the Hebrew and the meaning of Makarios in the Greek may not be exactly the same, but they will be very close, okay? Now let's look at the word eulogeo and see if there's an Old Testament verse that's quoted in the New Testament that uses eulogeo, and there is. It's Hebrews 6:14. Is one of them. It's not the only one, but it's one of them. So Hebrews 6, verse 14 is regarding God making a promise to Abraham, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So when it says blessing, I will bless thee, those are both the verb eulogeo. You see that? Eulogeo. It's the verb. So blessing, I will bless thee. And that's a figure of speech that magnifies the meaning of the word, okay? Many of us, we learned that back in Genesis when God told Adam, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. It was eating, thou shalt eat, right? But in the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die, or literally in the Hebrew, dying, thou shalt die. So it's a figure of speech that's used in Hebrew very much. And because this epistle to the Hebrews was probably originally written in either Hebrew or Aramaic and then translated into the Greek, it uses that same kind of figure of speech. Blessing, I will bless thee. Plus it's quoting from an Old Testament verse, right? And let's look at that verse that it's quoting from, and it's Genesis 22 in verse 17. And this has to do with God having told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. And then Abraham went ahead and was going to carry out what God told him to do, really with no hesitation. And just when he was ready to sacrifice his son, God sent an angel to stop him from doing that. And he told him that because thou hast done this thing, look at verse 16. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. The word blessing is barak. The word bless is barak. Okay? Now there are going to be two forms. In blessing, I will bless thee. But both the verb form, but in a different conjugation. You see, it's what we would call a participle. In blessing, I will bless thee. But it multiplies the thought, the force of the word. I'm like, really going to bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. Really multiply it. As the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Okay? And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, barak, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You see? So we have this word barak used in Genesis 22. And in both these verses, 17 and 18, it's barak. Barak there, barak there, barak there. And the equivalent word, again, in the New Testament, we were in Hebrews 6, 14, is surely blessing, eulogeo, I will bless thee, eulogeo. So that makes barak and eulogeo to be equivalent. Even though the word eulogeo is a very literal word, meaning to speak well, we use it in the word eulogy, like someone speaks well of the person who died at a memorial service or a funeral service, okay? It's supposed to be good words about that person. it wouldn't be appropriate at a memorial service to say that person was just a real creep and I'm glad he's dead. Okay. Whether you liked him or not, you would speak well of him at that moment because it's a eulogy. That's what's appropriate. So it has to do with words spoken. Although when we looked at that word, go back to Genesis 22:17, that word barak, again, there's a literal meaning of to kneel, which does that have anything to do with speaking? Well, I think about these things. And the only connection I can get between the speaking a blessing and kneeling is that there's a verse that says that if one person is blessing another, the word that blesses them is greater, right? And I think that's in Hebrews. Let me see if I can find it. I'm just thinking about that off the top of my head. Where was that? It had to do with Melchizedek. But the point was that the one doing the blessing is speaking down to the person that he is blessing, okay? When God would bless a human being, it's like he has to kneel down to do it because God is way up here and the person's way down there. Same thing with the animals. We see that with in the first time that the word bless is used in the Bible, it's regarding the animals that God made. In Genesis 1, verse 21, it said, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good. In verse 22 says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. Okay. He also blessed the man and the others, you know, be fruitful and multiply. So this is God who is inhabits eternity, who is much greater than anything that he's created, speaking to the things that he's created and blessing them. So he would have to lower himself as if he's kneeling down to speak those words of them to bless them. You see that?
Greg?
Yes.
I think the verse, maybe the verse you were looking for was Hebrews 7, 7.
Let's take a look. That's the one. Thank you.
I know you'll be up all night thinking.
I would. I was thinking greater, but it's better. It uses the word better there. So, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better, okay? The stronger, the better, the nobler. So God is the one who blessed the animals. God is the one who blessed man. God is the one who blessed Abraham. And in this context, Melchizedek, the priest king, blessed Abram. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, which put Melchizedek above Abraham because Melchizedek was the one who blessed Abraham. Right? And that's the point that it's making here regarding Melchizedek, and that Jesus Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is a higher order than the priests that were descendants of Aaron in the tribe of Levi. But anyway, that has to do, I believe, with the meaning of Barak, to bless, and that it also means to kneel in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense, it's to bless with words. But the blessing comes from someone who's greater, you see. Now, that word might also be used of people blessing God. And then, like Solomon, it said he kneeled down and prayed to God. And it uses that word, Barak, when he kneeled. So the origin of the word might not come from the same idea, but Barak and eulogio are used in the same way when it comes to a spoken blessing, okay? And that is the connection between the two. Now, we only have a few more minutes, but I wanted to mention one other verse that uses the word Barak in the book of Proverbs, and it's Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. And this is one of the places where we get that concept that the blessing of God, it doesn't stop with the words, but it produces that good fruit. And this is an important thing to remember. Verse 22 of Proverbs 10 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Okay. The blessing of the Lord, that's baraka. That would be the noun form that's related to barak. That blessing of the Lord, the blessing itself makes rich. It enriches a person. So if God blesses a person, it results in wealth to that person. That's something we're going to see as we dig into this further. We'll see that those that God had blessed, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We'll see that it resulted in material prosperity. It began with the spirit, because these were men that recognized God. These were men that loved God. These were men that the blessing of God was important to them, not in a material sense necessarily to begin with, but it was important to them because it was God, and God was so important to them. And for them to get a blessing of God meant so much to them. And then God is the one that prospered them. Okay, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That sorrow would be toil, pain, labor, or hardship. There are those that put a lot of toil and very, very hard work into enriching themselves. Okay, you hear of people that just work themselves to death because it's not enough to have enough. They have to make themselves rich, and they work and work and work and maybe don't even enjoy the wealth that they're working for. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. A person who loves God and who is blessed by God, and that blessing of God is more important than the riches, becomes rich because God prospers that person. The blessing of God produces that fruit. Kind of like we saw in Genesis 1:22, the first use of the word bless, God bless him saying, be fruitful and multiply. You see, those words spoken by God would produce fruit. The animals, they would reproduce and multiply and become more and more and more to fill the waters and the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. Okay, that's the first place that the word bless is used. And that blessing makes rich, makes abundant, makes lots and lots and lots of it. So this is something that we'll be looking at as we study the blessings of God, that the words are important because the words come from God. They're spoken by God, and every word from God is important because of the one who's speaking it. Then we'll look at the words themselves that are spoken and what those words produce in the lives of those that accept and receive those blessings and that walk with God and what it does for them. There would be blessings in the immediate as well as in the long term, right? There would be those that maybe would forego the material blessings on a temporary basis, knowing that God's going to enrich them in the ages to come. But there's always going to be an increase. There's always going to be an abundance. There's always going to be a bearing of fruit when it comes to God and his blessings. And that makes it very worthwhile looking into, because not just that we want to get all the goodies God has, but loving God and knowing God and knowing that he is so gracious, so generous, so rich in himself, that's just going to happen without you trying to make it happen necessarily. Mm-hmm. We put our efforts into worshiping God, serving him, learning about him, walking with him. It's God who puts the effort into prospering those that believe in him. And that's something that we'll see in the weeks to come as we dig into this deeper in more detail. So we're going to look at the individual words, the individual verses, the individual situations, and then we're going to back up and say the big picture. But before we look at the big picture, we have to look at the little details. And then, like I say, you look at the dots and then you connect the dots. We want to make sure that the dots we're looking at, that we see them accurately, that we see the depth and the detail of them. And then we step back and see how it connects into a bigger picture. Mm. All right, that's our plan.